Wasn't that wonderful? If you got your Bibles, would you move quickly to Matthew chapter number 3 and also to John chapter number 1 and verse 28 and 29. Then I'll bring you back. I want to share one thing with you as you're turning in the scripture, if I can. And I'm going to read the whole chapter. And I'm going to try to get all this in and let your heart not be troubled. Have you back home by 5 o'clock this afternoon. Amen. Matthew 3. As you know, this is the baptism of Jesus. I want you to note something in your mind and in also in your scripture. This event is mentioned in all 4 of the Gospels. You say, what's that mean? That means it's very important. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all regions around about Jordan, and they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. And think not to yourself to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the corner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But Jesus forbade him, saying, or John forbade him, or tried to stop him, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight forth out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning on him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I took some time, but I want you to go to one more passage. And I want you to connect. I want to connect this passage today. Look at John's Gospel, chapter number 1, same scene. Verse 26, John answered, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. In verse 27, he it is whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latches I'm not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Listen, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This morning I want to do my best, and I want you to do your best to listen for these next 15 or 18 minutes. And I want to present to you the Lamb of God. I want you to it be magnified in your soul. Behold the Lamb of God. We are at the River Jordan. We are at the scene where John is baptizing. And people were going down in the water confessing their sins. Can I say this to you? You said, but why did Jesus get baptized? To be saved? No. By the way, might as well just shoot this at you. Baptism has never saved one person. Somebody help me preach right there. And there's a group out today that preach baptismal regeneration. I say to them, and I say to you, that's a false doctrine. Then if you believe that, then you must believe Jesus had to be saved. Because Jesus had to be baptized, not to be saved. See, baptism identifies Jesus with you and I. And our baptism identifies us with him. Can I say this to you? Baptism, it's not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercies hath he saved us. I love this verse. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are his workmanship, created unto good works unto Christ. And you touched that in your Sunday school lesson today, Brother Roger. Let me give you three things as we enter into this passage. And I want to bring forth the Lamb of God. Notice number one in verse number six. Sin confessed by a multitude of people. By the way, John was a real preacher. Now, there's a crowd out today that doesn't preach John's preaching. Repent. We're living in an easy believism age. We're living in a time where it said, come and sign a card, you'll be okay, and you'll go to heaven. I say to you, the only way you can get saved is to repent and confess your sins and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. Somebody help me right there, praise God. And then he said he made his path straight. And let me say this to you. Works has nothing to do with salvation. But works does have everything to do after salvation. And here's what they were doing. They were coming down into that water and they confessed their sins. Amen. And then he said, bring forth meat unto repentance. I want to say, I'm not a lordship man. I'm not a fellow that pushes works. But I want to tell you, ever really get a good dose of salvation, you really ever get saved by the grace of God, your life will change and you'll do things for God. Let me illustrate this. I'm going to magnify this line. There's three groups mentioned. If you read all four Gospels, the people were mentioned. He said to them, how many of you have two coats and not take one and give it to somebody that's in need? And then there also was the publicans. You know, they were tax collectors. He told them to be honest. They were down in the water. He said, told them to be honest and not to rook anybody out. Amen. And then there was the soldiers, and he said, don't you bring anybody that don't deserve change into bondage. He told the soldiers. I want you to notice, friend. Now stay with me. I can imagine, Chad, here come a fella down into the water. Let's just tell it like it is. He said, I'm a whoremonger. Then he was baptized. Another one came in and said, I'm an old drunk. And he was baptized. And another one came in and said, I'm a homewrecker. And was baptized. Another one that was a minister sat and said, I messed up my life, and was baptized. Listen, but there's one that stepped in the line that had no sin. You better thank God this morning that was one person that stepped in the line for you that had no sin, could do no sin. You said, I thought he could sin. No, he wouldn't sin because he couldn't, and he couldn't sin because he wouldn't. Somebody say amen right there. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I want you to know this morning, if you come this morning and come to him this morning and confess your sins and trust him as Savior, hallelujah. Somebody raise your hand. You'll get saved by the grace of God. Amen. Secondly, I notice the second thing about this passage. A Savior connected to a multitude of prophecy. Praise God. Somebody help me there. Amen. What's the passage say? Behold the what? Behold the what, church? All louder than that. Behold the what? That taketh away what? The sin. I might say something. He didn't say sins. He didn't say sins. They confessed their sin, but he didn't say sin. Can I just be frank with you? They just want sin to take you to hell anyway. That is rejecting the Lamb of God. That is saying no to the Savior that came into the world born of a virgin. Let me say something about the Lamb. He was connected to a multitude of prophecy. Let me say, first of all, well, this makes me want to shout. He was a Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And before the foundation of the world. You say, what's that mean? Before you were ever born, before he hung a sun, moon, or stars, Jesus was a prepared lamb and was slain in the mind of God before the world began. Then in Genesis chapter number 3, he became Adam's lamb of provision. Boy, I want to tell you what, if you ever want to see the grace of God, read Genesis 3. Because I want you to know, God put two cherubims at the front of the garden and wouldn't let anybody in. And Adam killed a lamb and shed its blood and took the skins of the lamb and covered himself. That was a picture of the shed blood of Christ and the righteousness of Christ that we have. And the greatest act of mercy was God run him out of the garden and put cherubims there, because if he'd ate the fruit of the garden, he would have been eternally lost. But I'm glad that the first Adam came and was lost and was redeemed because of Christ. And we who are in this world today, the last Adam came and died for our sin. We also see him in Abraham's lamb. Abraham took his boy up on the mountain. The Bible even said that the gospel was preached to Abraham. Took his boy up on the mountain. Chad, I believe I'm right, had him laid on the altar and had the knife there to cut his throat. And what he was going to do, it was a burnt offering. He was going to cut his throat, drain his blood, pull the fat away from the body and skin him. That's a burnt offering. And the angel said, stop. And Abraham looked back and he saw a ram in the thicket. Somebody help me. I want to tell you what, I'm about ready to get happy here. That ram was in the right territory at the right time and was the right type. I want to say to you, the Lamb of God came into our territory at the right time, and he was the right type. He was a sinless Son of God. No sin was in his blood, and his blood was the blood of God, and he shed it for you as the Lamb of God. And we see the Passover in bondage. You know what they done at the Passover, Chad? They get a lamb. And they test that thing out for 14 days, wasn't it? He tested out and examined it. By the way, there's some of you here this morning. You're examining Jesus and you're examining religion. By the way, mere examination won't get you anywhere but to hell. You know what they had to do with that lamb? They took that and shed that lamb's blood, put it over the lintels of the door. I want to tell you something. I'm glad that that blood protected them from the judgment of God that was going to be in Israel or in Egypt. And I want you to raise your hand if you believe it. That blood still protects us from the wrath of God. We're justified as if we've never sinned. And then God's preacher came and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Number three, and I'm done. Not only do I see sin confessed by a multitude of people, a Savior connected to a multitude of prophecy. Boy, I like this. A statement confirmed by a multitude of punctuations. You say, "What do you mean by that?" Three exclamation marks. You said, "Who was that?" Well, number one, Anthony, Jesus was in the hot water and saying, "I'm him. Amen. I'm the one that's been preached through the Old Testament. I am him." Can I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is the Savior. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is everything. He died on the cross. That's him this morning. That's the one you must trust this morning. You don't trust the Baptist church. You don't trust the preacher. You trust Christ. Explanation point number one. Punctuation number one. Punctuation number two. The Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove and lighted on him and said, "Denny, that's him." Amen. And somebody shout right here. The Holy Spirit in my life, January the 31st, 1973, when I heard the gospel, the Holy Spirit pointed to me and said, "That's him." I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit doesn't glorify himself. That's why some of these churches that magnify the Spirit, they're way wrong. The Holy Spirit always magnifies the Son and points people to the Son. I say to you this morning, he's here trying to convict you of your sin, not point you to religion, not point you to a preacher, not point you to anything but Jesus. And then thirdly, third punctuation point, an exclamation point, there was a voice from heaven. Somebody shout right here. How many would like to be in there? Amen. Voice from heaven put the final punctuation point and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You want to be saved this morning? You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, and you can be saved. Can I give you three or four illustrations and I'm done? How many of you have heard of Mel Trotter? If you have, raise your hand. Mel Trotter still has a rescue mission in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Mel Trotter was a drunk. He was an outlaw. Mel Trotter's little baby died when it was 2 years old. And Mel went by the grave and said, "I'll quit drinking today." But two hours later, he was drunk again. His life spiraled out of control. 2 years later, Mel was drunk, broke, and wanted one more drink. And he sold his shoes for a bottle of liquor. Broke, drunk, and shoeless. In 8 inches of snow, Mel Trotter wandered into a rescue mission and got saved by the glorious grace of God. We have rescue missions all over this nation because of the work of Mel Trotter. There's still a rescue mission there in Grand Rapids. That man of God touched this country like no other man of God for 40 years and impacted fundamentalism like no other fellow. You say, why? Because he beheld the Lamb of God. Many of you should have heard of the old preacher man, evangelist, revivalist, Sam Jones. How many's heard of Sam Jones? Sam Jones was one of the greatest evangelists of our day, or of his day. He was a drunken lawyer. You want to know how he got saved? There's a mirror behind him, and he pulled up a mug of beer. And he saw his drunken self in that mug of beer. And conviction fell on him, found him a preacher man, and got saved by the grace of God and became one of the greatest preachers of the gospel. I'll close with this illustration. How many's heard of Charles Finney? Sure you have. If you know anything about Charles Finney, he was a lawyer. I'll tell you how he got saved. Charles said, I'm going to finish my studies. And something came to him and said, what then? And he said, I'm going to become rich. And a voice came to him and said, then what then? I'm going to live happily ever after. And he said, well, then what then? And Charles Finney then said, that voice, same voice came to him of Holy Ghost conviction, said, you're going to die. And what then? The great man of God had no answer. I want to say this to you. If you're here without Christ, you're going to die. And the thing is, I don't want to see you die without Christ. I say, if you die today, what then? I say to you, if Christ comes today, what then? I would say this morning, if I was you, I would come to a wonderful Savior who says, behold the Lamb. He's here this morning. Bow your head with me. Heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around.
So undeserved, it's hard for me to understand. God's Son would give this invitation, this wondrous revelation, whosoever.